Ephesians chapter number 3, if you found your place and you're able, I would ask you to stand for the reading of the reverence of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter number 3, I want to just read this morning verses 17 through verse number 21. The Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. Ephesians chapter number 3. Four services ago, the Lord began to deal with our hearts in a series of sermons or messages, might we say, that deals with the church. And it deals more specifically with God and His people. And I'll say this to you this morning. I've heard a lot of folks say, "Preacher, I don't know how we're going to make it. Preacher, I don't know how it's going to happen. And preacher, I don't know what lies ahead, but I'm glad to tell you this morning, I may not know what's going to happen, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I may not know what's going to be in the future, but I'm glad there's a God that's already been to the future and knows what lies ahead. And boy, I'm glad this morning I serve a God that is not bound by what we think or what we know or what we feel. He is not bound by how we think He should work, but He's a God of unlimited power, and He's a God of unlimited depth, and He's a God of unlimited height and length and breadth." And I'll say this to you this morning. I cannot even begin to comprehend the love that God has for you and I. I cannot get a hold of the depth of that. And I can't go to the height of that, Brother David, of how deep His love is. But we started 4 weeks ago or four services ago into this, and our first thought was, He has. Boy, I'm thankful this morning God has done some things for me. I'm thankful this morning that God's done some things for you. And I'm glad, listen to me, I'm thankful, Brother O'Dean, that God has done some things in the past that has placed Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle right where we're at this morning. But I'm glad this morning God has blessed us in the past, but that ain't where it ended. Amen? It wouldn't have done us a bit of good had God just blessed us a few times and left us. But I'm glad He has stayed faithful, Brother David. Throughout these times and throughout my life, I have found God to be faithful. There was four things that you and I have in common this morning. Now, we could take time and go through everybody's testimony, and I imagine everybody's testimony here, you would be able to say something that God did different for you than He did for Brother O'Dean. And maybe He done something for you that He hadn't done for me, but I'll say this to you. There's four things that you and I have in common that God's done for us all. He's taken our place as a sinner. He has tasted death for all men. He has rose from the dead, and He's ascended on high. I'm thankful for those four things that He has done. Not only that, but I found out that God is able. Amen. We need to understand that this morning, that God is able. We often say, "I don't know if anybody can fix it." Listen to me, God can fix it.
Right.
And preacher, I don't know how I'll make it through. Listen to me, God's able to get you through.
Right.
Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to face. Listen, honey, I'm telling you, God's able how to subdue the storms under His feet. And I give you five things out of that, that God is able to provide a lamb. We've seen in Genesis chapter 2, 22 and verse number 8, as Abraham was offering Isaac as a burnt offering, and Isaac began to realize there was no lamb, and he sought to his father, and his father replied back to Isaac and said, "God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Aren't you glad that God's able to provide a lamb?
Right.
Listen, in the year 2018, I about said 2016, that's where I'm hung up at. In the year 2018, that cross will still save a sinner.
Amen.
Jesus' blood will still save a sinner. Preacher, can God save me? He sure can.
Amen.
Preacher, can God fix me? He sure can. Preacher, is God able to do that? Oh, yes, my friend, He is. Can I say to you, not only that, God is able to provide water in dry and destined times. Listen, boy, I'm telling you, you can get into this world and you can find filth and you can find enough stuff to get you depressed and discouraged, but I'm glad every now and then God just passes by and lets us drink of the water of life freely. I'm glad every now and then He just passes by and He touches off and He provides something for my soul. And I'll say this to you, I'm glad He does it every day. I'm glad it ain't every once in a while, but I'm glad He passes by every day. And I can drink from the fountain that flows free. He's also able to provide protection. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, we see Joseph and his brothers throwing him away. We see him down in Egypt and a famine coming in the land. And his brothers come down and begin to talk to him. And Joseph made this statement. He said, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He said, you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. Can I say to you this morning, what you might think is so bad is actually for the good of your life. What you might think is so bad and so wrong in your life, God's actually turning it into the biggest blessing you've ever seen. Now listen to me, I'm not a prosperity preacher by no means, but I'll say this, Brother O'Dean, some of these issues that we face in life are preparing us for the next step in our life. It's deepening our faith and deepening our thought and deepening who we are so that we'll become dependent on God. God is able to provide shelter in the midst of a storm. Not only that, as you look in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, God is able to provide above what we ask or think. I'm glad this morning He's got everything I need in the palm of His hand. I'm glad this morning God's bank account ain't run dry. I'm glad this morning that God has the peace that I need to feel. We preached this past Wednesday night on the subject, He can. I'm glad this morning He has done some things. I'm glad, Brother David, that He's able to do some things. But I'm also thankful this morning He can do some things. You say, preacher, what can God do? God can heal the sick. I imagine this morning if I asked, have we had any survivors of cancers? There'd be some arms that went up. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, the doctors did this and the doctors did that. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. Doctors can cut you. They can take stuff out and they can put stuff in. But they can't cause a wound to heal. And they can't cause a wound to do right. Now, I thank God for our doctors. I want you to understand that. But they can only do so much. And the rest has to come from the Almighty. And the rest has to come from a touch of heaven. And I'll say this to you this morning. I'm thankful that God can heal the sick. Matthew 14 and 14, the Bible says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. Not only that, can He heal the sick, but He can also raise the dead. John 11 and verse number 43, and when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Not only can He heal the sick and He can raise the dead, but He can also grow the church in the middle of these days. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Can I say to you, He can still add to the church today. Amen. There are 3 points out of the subject He can. All 3 of these points are very valid. But all 3 of these points require something from the believer. You see, Matthew chapter 14, Jesus was moved with compassion. If you read in that story, you'll see that Jesus had went to a desert place. He had separated Himself from the congregation of believers. He had separated Himself from the theologians then. He had separated Himself from the miracles with His disciples for a few minutes of peace. All of a sudden, He got out away from everybody. He got away from the McDonald's, the Walmart, the Dollar Generals. He got away from the city. He got away where nothing else was at. And these people heard where He went. They pursued Him on foot. And when Jesus seen them, He was moved with compassion. Why was He moved with compassion? Let me say this to you. Some of you this morning say, preacher, Jesus ain't never done nothing for me. Let me ask you, when's the last time you went after Him? Preacher, He ain't never moved for me. When's the last time you sought Him out? When's the last time that you left your place of comfort? Listen to me. When's the last time you left your place of comfort and your place of luxury in this world and you went out to a desert place apart from everything else and you said, Lord, wherever you go, I'll go with you. Lord, wherever you go, I'll follow you. Listen to me. Jesus recognizes effort this morning. These people couldn't do nothing on their own, but they thought enough of Him and they believed enough in Him that they went to a place where nobody else was at. And the Bible says He was moved with compassion. Number two, He can raise the dead. Can I say this to you? He did not raise the dead for Himself. I made the statement Wednesday night, and I'm thankful that Rusty spoke up. There was some the congregation was doing some talking. I asked simply the fact, why did Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth? And it hit me odd when I was preaching that, why He said that. And I can't help believe, as Rusty and I discussed, and we even discussed at work Thursday, was had Christ not specifically said, Lazarus, that all the dead would have got up. He had the power, but He had to specify who He was calling. And we got to talking, and Rusty brought up something there at my desk in the shop, and he said, Preacher, he said, I can't help but think they had bound Him in grave clothes. How did He come walking out? Now you think about that. They had wrapped Him, though, didn't He? He'd been dead for 4 days. They had wrapped Him, and when Lazarus came out of the tomb, He said, loose him and let him go. And Rusty made a point. He said, if they had wrapped Him, Preacher, how did He come walking out? Listen to me, I got to thinking about that. I'm glad when He called my name, there was some stuff started breaking on me. Some things that had me bound started tearing loose. Hey, I'm telling you, I couldn't get them all off, but I thank God when I went to where He was at, honey, that He had some power to loose some things and to set me free from the bondage I was in. I can't help but think this morning, number three, He can grow the church. I can't help but think that that church was of one mind and one accord, and they broke bread daily with one another. Listen to me, I'm going to say this. I would rather be with my church people than anybody in this world. Listen, I would rather be with a group of believers this morning than anybody else in this world. And boy, when we're in fellowship and we're in one mind and one accord, I promise you this, it seems like God shows up every time that we are in one mind and one accord and God begins to bless. The reason He blessed the church during that day was they had fellowship, they had unity, and they were working for the same cord and same purpose.
Amen.
He can, but it requires us to do some things. Number four this morning, and we got five things to go through. I'm glad that He has. I'm thankful He's able. I know that He can, but I'm also thankful that He will.
Amen.
You say, Preacher, what will God do? I'm glad this morning that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am glad this morning that He will save you if you cry out on His name. I am thankful this morning that He's a God that will not leave us nor forsake us, that will be faithful throughout all the years. I am thankful for a God, listen to me, that puts you and I above His own needs and His own thoughts and His own desires, that He will sacrifice Himself for you and I.
Yep.
I'm glad He will.
Yep.
What will He do this morning, Preacher? Can I say this to you this morning? Number one, He will light the way. If there's ever been a time and a day that we needed to see a bright light, it is in these days. The psalmist David, y'all don't mind this morning if I just preach a little Old Testament to the New Testament church. Boy, I tell you, I like the New Testament where we get saved and we get raptured out of here. And boy, Paul writes to the churches. And boy, I like to read Revelation. But I want to say this to you. In my study, when I got to seeking this out, Dad, I found there's a whole lot of New Testament in the Old Testament. And boy, it wouldn't hurt us to go back and see some of our roots. I'm glad in Psalms 18 and verse number 28, David declares this, "For Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Boy, I'm glad in the darkest of nights, Brother Kenny, he's a bright and shining light. Boy, I'm glad when I can't see my way, Brother Chuck, God makes a way in the midst of the darkness. And you say, preacher, how in the world can you live like a Christian in these days? Honey, it ain't about where I walk. We're living in some of the darkest times that man has ever seen. But Brother Chuck, I'm glad there's a light shining out around that cross. And if I'll focus my eyes on Jesus and focus my eyes on the God of heaven, I promise you this morning, He will make a light in our darkness.
Amen.
Number two, can I say to you this morning, He's able, He can, and He will raise the dead. Go with me to Psalms chapter number 49 this morning real quickly. Psalms chapter number 49 this morning, and we're going to move right along, but I want you to get a hold of this. Psalms chapter number 49, the Bible says in verse number 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of the riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. Their inward thought, in verse number 11, says this, that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Listen to me, I'll say this to you. There's some folks in this world thinks they got enough money, they'll take care of everything. I'm going to say this to you this morning. Young, old, middle-aged, death is not a respecter of persons. And I'll say this to you this morning. We don't know when our time is going to come. We know that we're appointed once for man to die, and after this is done. You and I have no idea when our time is coming. But what I say this, there is a world thinking they're going to live forever. How many of you remember being 18 and being immortal where you could just thought you'd live forever? You know what? Ty Benton's right there right now. He don't think anything bad's going to happen to him, Paul. And Paul fusses at him. Paul say, "That boy, don't listen." Paul, I want to ask you something. When you was 18, did you listen to? Brother David, when you was 18, did you listen?
That's too long.
It's too long ago. You know, if we'll really sit here and think about it, every single one of us would never think that could happen to us. Every single one of us thought when we were 18, 19, 20 years old, boy, that we had the world by the tail. And boy, we was going to live forever and we was going to do that. And then something begins to happen and we start to fall apart. And then we begin to think, man, I'm going to die soon. This ain't good. Man, it seems like time picks up and gets faster. We begin to realize we're going to face death. The Bible teaches in Psalms 49 and verse number 14, like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Look at verse number 15. If you've got a highlighter, highlight this. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. You say, what's the psalmist saving? The psalmist is saying what Paul's saying. The psalmist is seeing that Jesus is going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to bring the dead and Christ out first. And they're going to be received unto God in a new glorified body. When this mortal must put on immortality and this corruptible must put on incorruption, the psalmist was seeing many years down the road that Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Can I say to you this morning, he will raise the dead. Can I not only say that? He will execute judgment. Go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 11. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 11. And can I say to you this morning, I've heard it said, preacher, I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do right. And it seems like the more I try to do right, the worse my life gets. It seems like, preacher, that the better I try to live, it seems like everything goes against me. But it seems like those who are living wicked, listen, seems like those who don't go to church. Seems like those who don't partake of the Bible. Seems like those who don't have anything. It seems like, man, they're having a time of their life. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. Their enjoyment is just for a season. It is just for a short period. You see, I've got all eternity to experience heaven. They've just got a few years of heaven on earth and then hell for eternity. You say, preacher, but it seems like they do wrong and nothing ever happens. Can I say to you, there is coming a reckoning day. Look with me in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, in verse number 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou," he says, "but listen." It's kind of like when Papa looks at you and says, "Boy, listen to me." Isn't that right, Paul? Isn't that about right? And then Zelmay says, "Quit being so hard on him, Paul." Is that about right? It's kind of like when Daddy said, "Boy, you don't listen to nothing." You know what? I know how angry I made my daddy now that I got a 2-year-old. She don't listen to a word I say. "Don't do that." She's going to do it. "Brooklyn, don't touch that." She's going to do it. "Brooklyn, you better get in the church pew." She's going to do it. You say, "Preacher, what'd you do?" "I just corrected my young and none of y'all knew it." You say, "Preacher, what happens?" She don't want to listen. Our young people don't want to listen. They don't want to think that the days are coming short. Notice what he says, "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." He says, for all that you do, when you live your life, when it's over, everything you're going to do, you're going to give an account for. There's a common mishap in our Baptist churches that's going around today. People think that once they get saved, their sins are cast from east to west. They are separated. Those sins, Adam's sins, are cast. And boy, there's a common mishap in the church that people think, "I'm not going to give an account for anything thereafter." When Jesus looks at me, he looks at the blood. When Jesus looks at me, he sees whether I'm saved or lost. But there is coming a day of judgment when I'm going to give an account for every deed, whether they be good or evil. Listen to me. Boy, we talk about we want all these crowns, but did you realize there are sins that take away crowns? I truly believe there's been men of God that were great pastors that had the crown of pastoring and leading people that's lost that crown, Daddy, because they got caught up in adultery and lust. And can I say this to you, Brother David? My sins before I got saved are gone, but I'm giving an account for how I live and deal with my time hereafter. Preacher, I don't like that. I'm glad he's going to execute judgment. I'm glad that judgment is coming on the just and the unjust. But I also want to say to you this morning, not only will he execute judgment, but he will hear me. Yeah. How many of you this morning could simply say, "Preacher, I don't feel like God hears me. Preacher, I feel like I've prayed 1,000 times and 1,000 times over, and I don't feel like God ever heard me." Can I say this to you? Me and Anna were discussing something. And she said, "That youngin," she said, "she ain't listening to nothing." And Brooklyn came right through and repeated what I said. I want to say this to you. He's listening whether you know it or not. "Well, preacher, he ain't answered my prayer." It might not be time for you to get a prayer answered. Do you know what happens? A lot of times people say, "Preacher, I've prayed about this and I've prayed about this, and it don't seem like God's answered it." God may have told you no, and you just won't accept it. You may have prayed about something, God said, "That ain't how it's going to be," but you won't accept it. You see, this morning, sometimes we pray our will and not God's will.
That's right. Amen.
We pray what we think and what we want, not what God knows is best.
Right.
And so, preacher, will God hear me? Look with me in Malachi chapter number 7 this morning. The Bible says this, or Micah chapter number 7, excuse me. "Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." I'm glad, Dad, this morning when I call out, he hears me. I am glad that he hears me. Point number 5, and this is where we're going. Isaiah chapter number 25 this morning, and I'm about done. Isaiah chapter number 25. Some of you this morning look like you're absolutely wore out. I'm wore out. We're tired. I understand some of you don't feel good. Well, give me just a few more minutes and I'll be done. Isaiah chapter number 25. When you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Some of you need to mark this chapter. How many of you this morning knows what Isaiah chapter 25 holds? It holds a key into the future. Say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" I want you to notice what the prophet Isaiah wrote. He said in verse number 1, "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made a city and heap of a defense a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast of all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off of all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. It shall be said in the day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall be bring down low and bring to the ground even to dust. Preacher, what's that all mean to me? Yet I can't help but think that Isaiah got to see a little bit what heaven was going to be like. I can't help but think, Brother David, that an Old Testament prophet got to see a place called heaven. He got to prophesy to those people that said, you know what? There's a brighter day coming. When all of this is gone, when God has destroyed this earth, you know, he destroyed it once, water, and next time it's fire and brimstone. When the earth has been purged, I don't believe he got to see like John did there on the Isle of Patmos. I don't believe that he got to see that new Jerusalem coming down and sitting there on the mount, but I believe he knew that something was coming. Something that was far beyond he had ever seen. But you know what? Brother David, he didn't get focused up on what it looked like. He didn't get focused on how many foundations it had. He didn't get focused. Oh, listen. He didn't get focused on how many gates it had. You know what, Brother Paul, our first thing when we begin to talk about heaven, what's it going to look like? Isn't it? How many of you this morning wonder what heaven's really going to look like? I do. Brother Bill, I've never seen gold as pure that it looks like transparent glass. Never seen that. Brother Kenny, I've never seen 12 foundations of pure stones that, man, I don't know. Preacher, what's heaven going to be like? I don't know, Brother David. I've never been to a place where there's no more heartache and no more pain and no more worry and no more death, no more sorrow. I've never been there. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I believe God knew where Isaiah's heart was at. You see, God knows where our heart's at. He knows we're worried about what's. But Isaiah wasn't focused in on that. He says, but this is the God we've waited on. This is the God we've looked for. This is the God of my salvation. You know what Isaiah was looking at? He says, you know what? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it's going to be like. Boy, it's going to be a pretty city. But I just want to see him. I just want to see the Lord. I don't care about anything else. I don't listen to me, honey. I'm telling you this morning. I don't care if I got a mansion over there. Honey, I don't care if I got a fine place. Brother David, the only one I care about seeing is Jesus. Honey, I'm telling you, the rest of us just had benefits. Honey, the one that died on Calvary for you and I, the one that shed his blood, honey, that laid in the grave for 3 days, that got up. Honey, I'm telling you, I don't care about what's over there. The only thing I care about seeing is the one who died for me, the one who's kept me, the one who's given me. Honey, I'm glad to see the one who has, the one who's able, the one who can, and the one who will.
Amen.
Is Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You say, preacher, what's that mean to me? Isaiah said, I just want to see him. And can I say this to you this morning? When I see him, I truly believe, as John recorded, and as Isaiah recorded, he'll wipe all the tears. Preacher, why is there going to be tears? I don't know about you this morning, but when I begin to think about what He has done, when I begin to think about what He's able to do,
right,
and I begin to think about what He can do, and Brother Bill, when I begin to think about what He will do, I'm telling you, there ain't nobody like Him. I'm telling you, there ain't nobody in this world got anything on Him. And I tell you this, there ain't nothing bad in all those things that He can, He's able, and He has, and that He will do. Everything that He will do will be good.
Right.
When I begin to think about that, a God of heaven, of that infinite power, looked down on a little place called earth and seen me wretched, seen me in my sin, that He was willing to give His own Son to die in my stead. I can't comprehend the depth, the length, or the height. Brother Odin, I can't think about all those things. But that brings us to the last point. I want you to go back with me to Ephesians chapter number 3, and I'm done. I'm not going to preach this very long. I'm done. I'm about out of wind. But I want you to notice this. He begins to talk about the comprehending, the length and depth, and to know the love of Christ. But I want you to notice this in verse number 20, and I'm done. We'll not be in this text no more till God leads us. Notice the end, what He says, according to the power that worketh in us. You know what, Dad? He has done big things. He's able to do big things. He can do big things, Brother James, and He will do big things. But He'll do it according to our faith. If we believe He can, full wholeheartedly, He can. If we doubt, He'll never do it. If we ask in doubt, wavering, He'll not hear us. Preacher, I want to see God do big things in my life. Let me ask you something. Do you believe He can do big things? Do you believe the problem's too big for God? Because if you believe the problem's too big for God, He'll never fix it. You see, it's according to what's in us. He's capable of all things, but it's determined by our faith and the power that worketh in us. So, preacher, what do I need to do? You just need to fully believe Him. Fully believe Him. I know of two lady folks that believed Him in my living room floor, and within a month's time, we both had babies. When everybody else would give up hope, there was two husbands. That'd be me and James and my wife and Miss Brittany. Well, y'all didn't know that. We met in our living room floor one night, and both of them were upset that they didn't think they'd be able to have babies. And we got together and prayed right in the living room floor. And they were some women folk believed, because it wasn't just a month or two apart. They were both pregnant about the same time. You say, what happened? I believed He could do it then. I believe He can do it now.
Amen.
I believed He can put a little girl in my wife's womb. And that, bless his heart, that little boy, I love him right now, but when he starts trying to take her on a date, I don't know if I'm going to like him. I still love him. But you know what? Some of you this morning, you've seen God do big things time and time again. But He ain't done it in my life in a long time, preacher. Where's it at in you? You see, God can do all this. He had compassion. Why? Because He's seen people move. He started answering prayers because He's seen the faithfulness. But the question is, do you believe? Do you believe this morning? That's all I've got to say. Do you believe He has? Heard people say, I'm lucky. No, you're not lucky. You're blessed. You're so blessed. Preacher, do you think He can? Do you think He's able? I know He is. Preacher, do you believe Him? I sure do. I've even said, Brother Kenny, I didn't know how we were going to make it as a church to get to where we're at right now. I'm praying one of these days we'll get everybody better and everybody out of surgeries and get everybody here. So you'll get to know everybody. And we can just have church. But Dad, I know I had faith 2009 when I came to pastor here. Brother Odin, what I've seen happen, I know nothing's too hard for my God. And He's brought me too far to doubt Him now. what I've seen him do, anything's possible. And I'll say that. And I'll say it with full assurance. Preacher, what if he don't? I'll accept his will, but I believe anything's possible. I believe the Independent Fundamental Church should have the pews filled. You know something? I heard at one point in time, the little Ronda Tabernacle was running over. And I've heard it just a few times since it came over here that it was full. You want me to tell you something? I believe, and I trust enough that we'll see pews filled in this church. I serve a God that can. Preacher, I don't know if we will. I believe that. I believe we can see it in the next year. Do you? You believe God can heal that sickness? Do you believe God can touch your life? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jody comes to play a hymn of invitation.